It really is a blessing to be here today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services. Again, it being the holiday season, we have many that are not able to be with us, and it's also the flu season. So wash your hands around people and get your flu shots if you haven't. I don't guess it's too late for that. But bottom line is, I'm glad you're here. You know, when I think about what's going on right now, and I think about the excitement in the air for the children, the excitement in the air on the anticipation of Santa coming on the night of the 24th. And, you know, man, can you remember back to that excitement? Well, you know, I want you to know that's how I am on Saturday nights. It really is. Because I know the next day I'm going to be here. And I don't just say that because I'm the preacher and I'm supposed to. I really do have a lot of excitement about worship. I have a lot of excitement about seeing you. Because, you know, every Sunday we have the greatest blessing we can ever have, and that is to draw closer to God. I mean, that's why worship is so vital. It's about Him. You know, and I think about when you were introduced to Jesus, when I was introduced to Jesus. Again, I was introduced to Jesus as a baby, and I'm sure that many of you were as well. And we grew up going and understanding about Jesus loves me, as we sang about. And we learned about that manger scene, and we learned about all those blessings about Jesus' birth and Jesus as He grew up, and He was a lad at 12 years old, and how He went and He became a great leader for God and a great leader among the people, and ultimately went to the cross. We learned about that, many of us, from a young age, but some of you, probably it hasn't been that long ago, maybe, that you just learned and were introduced to the blessing of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I think about Jesus and the introduction of Jesus. Man, He had some remarkable introductions, didn't He? Had some remarkable introductions in the Bible. I mean, think about, as Jeff pointed out, those shepherds in that field. When they said, hey, the Messiah has been born. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Jesus Christ has been born. The Messiah is born. Go see Him. Go see where He lays. And as all month long, we've been unwrapping that gift, right? We've been unwrapping the gift of Jesus Christ as He lay in that manger. Remember the wise men. Jeff talked about people seeking Him. Remember the wise men. That star that led them, that we just sang about, and how they came to see Jesus. And so He had all these great introductions to people as a baby. But then at 12 years old, He had a great introduction, as we pointed out, to those leaders in the temple. He had a great introduction to John, at least outside the womb, right? Remember, they met, of course, in the womb. But outside the womb, He had a great introduction to John, His relative and also the one who prepared the way. And that introduction was, hey, I need you to baptize me to fulfill the righteousness of God. He had an introduction to Satan, at least on this earth. At least we believe it's his first introduction. As soon as he's baptized, he's led up into the wilderness to be tempted by him. And for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil brought everything he had at him, and Jesus resisted. He had a great introduction to Andrew and Peter and all the other disciples, especially Peter and them, as they had a great catch that day. But Jesus said, hey, leave your nets and follow me. He had a great introduction to people like the diseased woman of Mark chapter 5. He had a great introduction to people like blind Bartimaeus or that paralyzed man that was raised through the roof. What a great introduction to Jesus as they got their sight back, their disease was gone, they were able to walk again. Folks, He had a great introduction to Pilate. And that's where I want us to be today. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15, if you will. Mark chapter 15. Why are you talking about a crucifixion on the day that people are talking about the birth of Jesus? Well, I think all week long, all month long, we've kind of talked about that birth. I've done it from a point of, this is our theme this year, renew, right? We want to be renewed, and so what do we do? Again, I even started it out this way. a child's going to open a gift and it might not be the gift that they wanted or the gift that they're real excited about, but there's hope in the next gift. Okay, and I talked about today, a few weeks ago, you may have walked into this room not feeling the best you want, but there's hope because you walked in today because we can unwrap Jesus Christ. And so we talked about that birth of Jesus, but I want you to know that ultimately, because of his introduction to Pilate and his introduction to all those others that he is going to be introduced to in Mark 15, that's the reason we can be renewed today. That's the reason we can have hope today. And that's the reason that you and I can be reborn today. And so what I want to do is I want to talk to you in the pinnacle of all of our lessons on the greatness of what was in the manger, what was in the swaddling cloths, as Mary unwrapped, as the shepherds unwrapped, as the world unwrapped Jesus Christ, it accumulated to this point in life when he gave everything. It is the giving season, right? It is the giving season. So I want you to know that, as we pointed out multiple times over the course of this month, for God so loved the world that he gave. And then we pointed out again today that Seth read to us that Christ died while we were still sinners. He gave. What did he give? Well, let's walk through this today. And let's just picture what Jesus gave. But I want to do that as you also do something. As I also do something. I want you to picture, what am I giving? You know, we spend a lot of time and probably a lot of money lately buying gifts. There's nothing wrong with that per se. I want you to be able to do that. God wants you to be generous. And remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But what have you given Jesus? What have we given him? You see, the introduction to Jesus to Pilate happens at the beginning of Mark 15, really. He's been introduced to Annas. He's been introduced to Caiaphas. He's been introduced along the way to a lot of people. But here in Mark 15, we see that he's also going to be introduced again to an angry crowd. Remember, Pilate, through other Gospels, especially Matthew's account, his wife's been troubled about this. She's been troubled about this Jesus Christ, who she probably has heard about along the way through people passing down or through the grapevine. And he was born to a virgin and all these people sought him, and he's grown up and he's healed people and he's walked on water and he's done all these amazing things. And now I've had a dream, and hey, don't mess with this man. Pilate, just let him go. And so Pilate gets to meet Jesus, and as he observes him, you know what he concludes? This man's done nothing wrong. This man, who all these people are angry at, he's done nothing wrong. And so he asks them that. What do you want me to do with him? And then you can pick up in verse 13, and they cry out again, crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas, that ugly criminal, right? That hard-nosed, ugly, committing man who committed so many crimes and did all those bad things. He walked free. Pilate released Barabbas, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. So that leads us to the first thing I want to talk about today. Jesus gave himself over to an incensed crowd. And I want you to think about why that's a special gift to you today. You see, he didn't have to do it. We sang the song, right? He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have destroyed the world. He could have done it any way he wanted. But this is the way it had to line up. This is the way it had to happen. And Jesus went to a crowd of people that were incensed. They were furious. They were angry. They were full of wrath and malice and all these bad things. And he gladly gave himself over to that hostile crowd that Pilate was afraid of, quite frankly. He was afraid an uproar was going to happen, that they were going to overtake his throne or that day, and it was going to cause this scene. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to beat the man, and then I'm going to give him to him. And so Jesus gave himself over to that crowd. Why? So that we wouldn't have to give ourselves over to that crowd. So that we wouldn't have to listen to the noise. Now I want you to think, that's hard to do. Let's say that you know that there's a bunch of people upset with you, and there's a bunch of people that hate you, and I hope that nobody has that happen. There's a bunch of people that is full of wrath, and they want to tear you up, and they want to kill you. How many is gladly walking into that crowd today? How many is gladly going into that scene? Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, He said, I'll do it. You know what I picture it like? That man that detonates those bombs so that other vehicles won't have to ride on them over in war places. That he goes out there and he detonates those bombs, and some it's even taken their lives, and they've laid on that bomb so that others would not have to. Christ came and laid on that angry mob so that we wouldn't have to. What are you willing to give him for it? But that's not all. We continue on in the story, right? If you pick back up and you see here in verse 16, the soldiers led him away into a hall called Praetorium. And there they gathered the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple. And they twisted a crown of thorns. And they put it on his head. And they began to salute him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck him on the head with a reed. And they spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucified. Jesus gave himself over in the most humble, but also yet the most humiliating way. Think about that. This is God. God in the flesh. Who's going to line up for that? He just took a beating, by the way. When I say a beating, you know a scourging was awful. They took whips to rip his flesh off his body, and they did. Then they took him into this hall, Praetorium. They called together everybody. Hey, y'all come look at this guy. Come look at this guy that claims to be King of the Jews. Boy, he's in this angry mob. Remember, he had to go over to the angry mob before anything else could happen. And so now he's got this angry mob, and now it's catching on, and people are ridiculing and they're making fun. This cute little baby that was born in this manger is now being ripped apart by this angry mob that he came to be born and die for. And they put the clothes on him. And they make fun of him. They take the crown of thorns and they put it on his head and they drive it into his forehead. Blood is flowing freely. And so they take that purple robe and they put it on him. They make fun of him. Then they rip it off of him. Paul said, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, coming in the likeness of man, taking the form of a bondservant, he humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What that means is this. He was and is King of the Jews. He was and is King of the world. But he's in a hall being spit on, being made fun of, being beaten, and being ridiculed. He came and he gave himself over in a humble way, but he also gave it over in the most humiliating way that he could. What are we giving to Jesus? What are we giving to God? Is it hard sometimes to get children ready for Sunday school? Sure, it is. I won't pretend it's not. Is it hard sometimes with your aches and pains and a lot that you're going through to get out of bed and come on? Yeah, I'm sure it is. But you're going to come fully clothed. You're going to come with nobody wanting to beat you and spit on you and all those things. And we're going to come and worship the King. What are you willing to give Him? But that's not where the story ends. That's not all He gave. As we continue on, if you pick back up now, I think we're in verse 21. Here's where they compel a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross. Let me tell you about that for a moment as we look at our next point. You see, we learn that Jesus gave Himself over despite utter exhaustion. He gave Himself even though He couldn't really give anymore. See, I just read through verse 21 that fast, and then they compelled a certain man, Simon Cyrenian, father of Alexander and Rufus, to come out of the country, pass by, bear his cross. We read through that, and there's nothing to it, and I've told you this before, but don't let that one quick verse miss the whole point of why they called Simon the Cyrenian the father of Alexander and Rufus. You see, Jesus had lost a lot of blood at the scourging. Jesus had lost a lot of blood when they were making fun of Him in Praetorium and driving that crown of thorns into His head. And He had lost a lot of sleep, and He's tired, and He's probably not eaten. He's probably not drank. He's dehydrated. A lot of things going on. And He gets to the point where He's having to carry this cross, and He's falling down, and they're treating Him like some animal, and they're goading Him, and they're poking Him, and they're saying, "Get up and go, Jesus. Get up and go. Get up and go, King. Go to your crown. Go to your kingdom." And it gets to a point where He can't go anymore, because He's exhausted. And He is worn out. It's at that point that they call Simon out of the crowd to bear His cross. There's probably been times when I've said, "You know what, I'm a little tired, I'm going to go on to bed. Cut my prayers a little short." Probably been times when I was like, "Man, you know what, hey, I got a lot going on, I'll read tomorrow." There may have been times when you've said, "Hey, you know what, I just a lot feeling a little bit right, so I'm not going to go on Sunday. I'm going to stay in a little bit. You know, I can watch a live stream. I'm glad we have live stream, but we got to start counting live stream attendance too, by the way, apparently." There might be times like Wednesday night. "Ooh, man, it's been a long day. You know what? I could get there. I'm just a little tired, worn out." How tired was Jesus? How tired was Jesus? You see, when we see that manger scene, and I'm thankful that people put Him out, and I'm thankful that people represent Jesus, and I'm thankful that we can talk about Him in a world that wants to talk about greed and hatred and racism and all the other garbage that's going on. I'm thankful we can still talk about Jesus Christ. When every TV show is trying to get every type of sin in it, from sexual immorality to homosexuality to whatever it is, every TV show now is trying to get it all in there. I'm thankful that Charlie Brown can still talk about Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? Let's quit fighting it. But my point is, we see that cute little manger scene, and it doesn't really tell the whole story. It's just the beginning. Because Jesus gets to this point where He's exhausted, and He still gave. But But the story didn't end there. In fact, it's at this point that they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots to determine what every man should take. You see, Jesus, in this scene, he even gave the very clothes he was wearing. Now, that is probably another scene we've just kind of skipped over quickly. But how humiliating was that? His mother's there. Everyone else is there. And they take his clothes. He gives up his clothes. He didn't fight it. He gave it up so that they could gamble over it and they could say, "Hey, I won. Give me the souvenir." You know, sometimes you want a souvenir, right? Maybe it's a ticket stub when you went to a great football game or a great baseball game or a great sporting event of some sort. And man, there's a lot of memories in that. And you frame that ticket stub or you put it in and say, "Hey, man, I got this great memory." Or maybe it's a baseball that you caught at a game. It's a home run ball to win a baseball game or a foul ball or something and hit by a famous Hall of Famer. And man, you keep that thing and you put it up and you're proud of it and everything else and all that. You know what they wanted? They wanted the clothes of the greatest man who's ever lived, not because he's the greatest man who ever lived, because they hated him. Hated him. So even though it caused him to leave this world with nothing on, he even gave his clothes. How much are we giving? How much are we willing to give? Write a big check to Santa. I get it. I do. We write a big check to Visa. We write a big check to mortgage. We write a big check to car payment. We write a big check to fill in the blank, right? But what are we giving Him? What are we giving Him? He even gave the clothes that was on his back, as bloody as they were, as nasty as they were. He gave it all. But that's not where the story ends. Now it was the third hour. And there was darkness over the whole land until the... I'm sorry, wrong part, I'm ahead of myself. Now was the third hour, and the inscription of his accusation was written above. The King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right, the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." Guys, that's a very important point. You see, he gave himself over to fulfill the Old Testament. Why was it significant that the shepherds knew about the great tidings of good joy? The great news, the good joy, the tidings that came, the good news, the gospel to Jesus Christ, the message of the Messiah. Why was it great news? Because it was fulfilling what had been promised in the Old Testament. It was the first time since Malachi that people had heard from God, and the way they heard from God was a baby being born in a manger in Bethlehem. Hey, I hear you. 400 years they didn't hear from God, and the answer came in a baby crying, wrapped in swaddling cloths, where there was no room for him to be even able to lay his head. All that happened to fulfill the promise. And so even as he gave up his life, the third hour of the day, as they nail him to the cross, they put that sign that says, "The King of the Jews." Why? To fulfill the Old Testament that he was numbered amongst the transgressors. Boy, that's significant though. I'm a transgressor. So are you. You see, God, I can't fathom him. My brain won't be able to wrap around the magnificence of God. I can't fathom how great he is and how amazing he is and how awesome he is. We just get a glimpse of it through Scripture and through people and through this world that we can see in and through our answered prayers and through life in general. We get a glimpse of how amazing God is, right? But we don't truly understand how great he is. That God, our God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the only true and living God, he knew that we couldn't be on the same plane as him. So Jesus, it was told a long time ago, he'd come and be numbered with the sinners. And so he gave himself over that third hour to be numbered with you and with me. But it didn't end there. He kept giving. You think this man can't give anymore? But oh, he does. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who build the temple and destroy it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now it was the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's a big one now. Jesus gave up his Father for you and for me. Now that's significant because this is the only time in existence where they've truly been separated. How long has God existed? Always. How long is that? I have no idea. Again, he's eternal. I told you I don't get him and you don't either. We can't fathom him. But if this earth is 7,000 years old, how long did God exist before Genesis 1? I have no idea. He always existed, but I have no idea in our terms how many years that was. What if it was trillions? Okay, let's just throw numbers out that are big to us, right? Trillion's a pretty big number. I can't fathom a trillion either. That's huge. It's a huge number. Trillions of years, I have no idea, okay? Again, God exists outside of time, but for our sake, let's think about time. How long was it? I have no idea. 7,000's a long time. 7,000 years is a long time. But I want you to think about this. This is the only time in all of existence that he and his Father were separated. If it was trillions of years or thousands of years, I don't know. They were always together. But this moment in time, he gave him up for you and for me. Think about that. Think about that. "Why, Father, have you forsaken me?" We know why God had to forsake him. He can't be in the presence of sin. And at that moment in time, Jesus Christ, while we were still sinners, was dying for us. We can't give up things for him. We can't give up the world for him. We can't give up some time for him. We can't give up
contend for him? What's wrong with this picture? What have we become? Are we so spoiled? Why are we not doing more? The only time in existence that Jesus Christ and His Father weren't together, He gave Him up for you and for me. What am I doing for Him? I think it's an honest question we've got to ask ourselves, folks. But He's still not done. Someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." We know that Jesus gave up His blood. What's the greatest gift that can be given today? How about all your blood? Is there a price on that? Anybody signing up for that? What if I could pay off all your debt? What if I could give you $1 trillion? What if I could give you whatever car? What if I could give you all these things, right? And said, "All you got to give me is all your blood." And nobody's signing up for that because there's not a price on all your blood. But Jesus gave up all His blood for us. And then He gave up all His breath. 33 years is what we're told or we learn that Jesus lived on this earth. From the time He was wrapped up in swaddling cloth and those shepherds unwrapped Him to the world. From the time that He was in the temple unwrapping His knowledge to those scholars. To the time that He was with John the Baptizer and He was immersed in water, not for the remission of His sins, because He didn't have any, but to fulfill the righteousness of God. And He introduced Himself to the world. "Here I am." To the time He went to Satan and Satan said, "I'm coming to get you." And He said, "Oh no, you're not." And He unwrapped Himself to the evil one. To the time that He helped the Bartimaeuses of the world, the diseased of the world, the blind of the world, the leprous, the lame, the dead. He unwrapped Himself as the great healer. To the point that He unwrapped Himself to Annas, to Caiaphas, to Pilate. He unwrapped Himself as He gave and 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 He gave till He literally had nothing left to give. You see, when it's all said and done, He literally gave all. Why is He the greatest gift? Yeah, because He gave all that. But He's the gift that keeps on giving. And today, you ever been to one of those gift exchanges? Maybe it's Dirty Santa. Maybe it's just, I don't know, you draw numbers and, you know, as a kid, this part of my family's not here, so I'm going to tell this. I can remember one year we drew numbers
on either my mom or dad's side. I won't tell you that much. And man, we went out and we bought nice gifts for all my cousins. And I'm like a little bitty kid, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get some toys. I got a flashlight. I'm still a little bit bitter about that, so I probably need to repent. Or I can remember, you know, you take and you get, man, I remember going and getting G.I. Joes for kids at school when I was a little kid because I was into G.I. Joes. I always made sure that I got one that I already had, though, because I didn't want to not have it, you know. So I'd go, my mom and dad, we'd go to the store and we'd go buy G.I. Joe, we'd wrap it up. I'd get bubble bath or something. You know, I remember thinking, man, this is awful. You've been to those kind of gift exchanges, though, where you get the bad gift, but you really give the good one? Jesus Christ is willing to take all your bad. You give Him all your bad. You give Him every profane thing you've said. You give Him every profane thing you've done. You give Him every mistake you've made, every piece of hatred you've had, every bad thing you've ever done, every bad moment you've ever had. Today, give it to Him. And He's still going to give you new life. From a baby wrapped up in swaddling cloth to a body wrapped up in swaddling cloth, He gave it all. What are you going to give Him right now as together we stand and sing?